It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show after a productive and, I would say, best you could hope for weekend from the Astros. They take 2 out of 3, had probably the moment of the year. You had the comeback on Saturday. Looked like it was going to be a pretty bleak afternoon into the night, but the Astros found a way to win that game. And we'll hear from the hero in the segment. Alex Bregman spoke about it. We can't avoid yesterday's game. They lose. They lose to the Dodgers. But they take 2 out of 3. You'll take that. Nice bounce back series for them. They play the hated Dodgers, and they win that series. I don't know if Saturday was the game of the year. I know our very own John Granato suggested that it was. But as far as the opponent and how it went down, it did feel like, I won't say retro, but let's say vintage Astros. Vintage Astros. It felt like that game was like the team we've all come to know and enjoy. They have a rival in town, and it feels like things aren't going to go your way, and they find a way. And it ended with the Bregman home run. He was pretty much doing the I am him, and sorry, I got to pause. I just got a text that came across my laptop about the audio. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Yes. She's not alone, by the way. We have switched over for multiple reasons. You can blame John for most of it. We switched over in the way we are going to do audio and, for the most part, video streaming. So we're working out the kinks as far as the audio component. We'll figure it out at some point. And I say at some point because I can't guarantee that it'll be figured out by the end of the workday. But we will figure it out. And then hopefully everything's okay. So, yes, you are not alone, everybody. If you are a person who is watching us on Twitter for the first time or watching us on YouTube as you normally do or Twitch, you are amongst many who are having an issue. We're going to figure it out. Maybe it's an input thing. Maybe it's a bandwidth thing. We're still trying to work it out. So, beyond that, beyond the logistics and our slight technical issue, I would ask you, Sean, because you're a sad person, so maybe you needed some joy. We found out you're a very sad person, at least because you're a young person, so you have to be sad.
Thanks, Lance.
We found that out late in the previous show. Best moment of the year for the Astros when you include the opponent, the circumstance, and where you are in the season? Saturday's game.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I don't really know if there's a specific game in the kind of turner in that 2 weeks where they went from 10 down to half game back or one game back of the Mariners, if there's one specific moment. So maybe just by virtue of it being a walk-off against the Dodgers, it kind of has an extra exclamation point to it, even though it is still a meaningful game. They're all meaningful games, though, and the division is close as this one.
Thank you for that, baseball guy.
But there wasn't that, oh my gosh, this saves their season. Their season's already kind of been saved.
Because the Mariners are in this division. Now, the Mariners did sweep the White Sox, but the fact that the Mariners are in this division, the Astros went on their run while the Mariners were stinking it up, the season has been saved.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a lot of their run really throughout the season, not just in July. But a lot of their run has been against the A's and the Angels and the kind of the dregs
of the Marlins.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it, is that this was a signature win. The committee, the playoff committee, is going to really look favorably on this one.
When we're looking back, and the Astros, I wouldn't call the AL West a Power Five. So currently the way it sits, so when the Astros are being considered for an invitation to the playoff, this one will be looked at as, hey, this series will be looked at as what they will bank on and go, see, when you pit us against the best of the best, we took 2 out of 3. Signature win. This is Texas against Alabama.
Yeah. It is.
It is. It's why
this is the exact same.
Beyond the yes, as we make the cross sport comparison, except it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did go, yes, let's give Texas more credit. They did go on the road.
Lineal SEC champions.
Yes. They beat the SEC champion in their building. Let's give Texas all the credit they deserve. Once again, they made the playoff when it was the real playoff, too. Let's throw it all out there. Let's get it out of the way.
Good.
Okay, yeah, we're good. Are we good now?
Yeah, we can start the week of shows.
All right. Texas got their credit in the first segment. We can move on. But back to the Astros, who have Paul Skenes tonight. And they don't want to make it 2 in a row because the Mariners can play the White Sox and sweep them. So now the Astros, despite taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, are just a percentage point ahead. Actually, I don't even know how that works. 5-2-4 to 5-2-3. I'm not sure that even classifies as a point. But they do lead. They do lead with the Mariners have played 2 more games. So we look at the series. The 5-0 win on Friday. Very comfortable. It was great. Fromber was great. Struck out 10 over 6 in the third. You feel pretty good about that. And it's just great. The Dodgers come in. You're coming off a series loss to the A's, and you take care of business. And then, of course, the dramatics of Saturday. So all in all, give that team credit, particularly for the fight back. Because at times, this team, particularly this year, when things go poorly, they continue to go poorly. We don't have a lot of, and it's hard to do in baseball, we don't have a lot of down, crooked number comebacks. It's not what they've been this year, and the record would dictate that. You're probably not storming back from 5 to 6 runs down, or even just 4, and coming back and winning. So that was an added bonus that we haven't seen a lot of that this year. And the fact that they did it was great. It secured the series win. And then you go into yesterday, it's all gravy. You would love a sweep because of the bragging rights. And Sean and I talked about it on Friday. There's a certain level of hate for the Dodger uniform. I'm not sure it exists for any of the players beyond Joe Kelly. Clearly, Joe Kelly made his face very visible over the weekend, and as a lot of Astro fans believe, it's a very punchable face. And he got in yesterday and was good, but on Saturday he became a meme because of, I guess, he was yelling at Blanco at some point. I mean, it was edited to make it look like it came right before Bregman's home run, but I don't believe that particular facial expression and the words he said were right before the Bregman home run. It just happens that, hey, the internet started internetting, and it made it look like that. But he was Joe Kelly. He is what he is. He is annoying. He is. I don't know if other fan bases feel the way that Astro fans do about him. I don't know if he's trolling. We know the impetus for it. 2017, the cheating, and he had words, and he still continues to have those words, the Correa thing that happened later, and now just it's on site with Joe Kelly, I think. That's the best way I can put it for Astro fans. It is on site. Anytime that man is seen, I mean, if we weren't living in a civilized society, Sean, people didn't have to worry about the punishment, he'd get punched in the face on site. That's just what it is. I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I mean, all he is doing is being a trolling baseball player. Maybe we should separate real life from the baseball player that is Joe Kelly, because I don't know if he's a bad person. He feels like a bad person in baseball. I'm not sure. See, look, this is what I'm talking about, separating real life from baseball. In baseball, when it comes to the Astros, he's a bad person. I don't know if the Joe Kelly that takes off the Dodger hat and puts on, I don't know, his Vans hat, whatever the hell he's wearing, is a good, charming, wonderful person. It feels like that's a stretch. I just don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a terrible person.
I didn't say that.
No, I agree with you. I agree with
you.
What
don't
you're saying.
Say you agree with me, because that's not what I said. I said he is a
probably kicks dogs. Or
see,
something.
Look, that's hating on the Astros and kicking dogs. There are levels to being a bad person. I don't know if that man kicks dogs. I just know.
I don't know if he kicks dogs.
But you wouldn't be surprised if he did. That's I think that's what
if you're
saying.
Offering me odds.
If you're giving me, is he a favorite to kick dogs?
Yes. Over over under one half dog kicked
per
Joe
what?
Kelly.
Per what? A lifetime?
24 hours.
Wow. So you think he's a serial dog kicker?
I think after the game, he just walked,
you know
he walked around Houston.
I mean,
excluding
Joe Kelly and our hate for him and the slander you're throwing us away. Do you know how crazy it would be if someone's life was like every damn kicking a dog twice, a minimum, one and a half actually. That fluctuates. That's nuts.
Yeah, some days I don't see any dogs.
Then I make up for it the next day?
Yeah, other days I go to the park.
I'm going to say
watch out.
I'm going to say very few people have a one and a half. That's the line on them kicking dogs.
I said one half.
Oh, one half. Okay. Okay. Is it over or under for you?
Over.
Well, that was clear. I didn't even know why I asked that question. Clearly, it was
going to
be over.
I brought it up. Yeah.
Clearly, it's going to be over. I'm not putting that on him. I just know in baseball terms, bad guy. In life, could be a wonderful chap. I don't know that.
I don't know. Wonderful seems
he
like
he could
a
be
stretch
delightful outside of baseball.
Feels like a stretch.
Yeah, delightful.
I feel like decent is about as well as
yeah, delightful, strong.
Decent, I could see decent.
Well, the man, you know, the man has a family. I'm sure he's found delightful by his wife, I guess. But what we see on a day-to-day basis as a baseball player, awful. Eric, I see you. You got a question for me about something. I don't know what it is. I love a surprise. We'll talk about that when we come back. Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, the hated Dodgers, and they remain in the lead in the AOS by mere percentage points. The question will be for the Astros, where do they turn as far as acquiring talent? Paredes is now a Cub. That was an alleged target if we were listening to John Heyman. Is a bat still in question for them? Will they make a move? Verlander was a move last year. Will there be a smaller move made this year to try to strengthen this rotation? We got Jake Bloss tonight against Paul Skeens. Feels like a mismatch. But you never know in baseball, right? Although I feel like I kind of know what's going to happen tonight. But we will see. So do they add to the rotation? Do they find a bat? They've got, by the way, we said July 31st last week because that was just the assumption. It's July 30th. They have until 5 p.m. tomorrow to make a move to see if they will improve this roster, and what they might give up will be a point of contention as well. Eric, when we get back, we'll talk to you. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Just getting started for the week. Joe Kelly's an awful human being. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to maybe the moment of the year so far. We might even do it in Spanish. We'll hear from the hero on Saturday, Alex Bregman, in a little bit. But let's hear from Eric, who's got a question for me. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dale, great show. First of all, nobody cares about Sleepy Joe Kelly. Anyway, what do you think the Astros need more? A bat or a pitcher, since JV and Luis Garcia might be coming back, but also Kyle Tucker might be coming back? Also, did you see that disgusting display at the Olympics about the Last Supper? Why do they got to do that? Just leave politics and religion out of it. And how the heck are they going to turn Dr. Doom or Iron Man into Dr. Doom? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's the big news over the weekend. If you are into superhero stuff, Robert Downey Jr. is back. Back for another bag, I would imagine. The bag's going to be giant. Go win an Oscar after taking some time off from Marvel, then come back and be Dr. Doom. Well, the history of that character, there is a crossover between Dr. Doom and Iron Man. I don't know how they'll do it. You know, there are going to be variants and there's going to be a multiverse. So there are ways. Now, Dr. Doom always wears a mask. I guess some people think, hey, would it be crazy for the Avengers to fight a Dr. Doom who looks exactly like their now dead pal as a variant? I don't know. In fact, speaking of that, I got to go watch Deadpool today because at some point, enough of the spoilers. People are showing me cameos on Twitter the cameos are coming up, and I have avoided them for the most part, but even just a scroll through my For You page, I'm seeing people who are going to be in the movie that I didn't know who are going to be in the movie, so I got to wrap up my Deadpool delay. I was going to go watch.
Hugh Jackman's in this one?
That's not the spoiler I'm discussing. Oh, just sorry. A different Wolverine who looks like a certain superhero character because, you know, same actor playing him. So I got
Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Wolverine.
I have not seen him, but a somewhat famous superhero character from the last decade apparently is playing another version of Wolverine.
Okay, famous superhero from the last decade. Yeah. That narrows it down.
Well, that was my point, to be as vague as possible, but giving you some context. And the only reason I didn't watch it, I know Joe's in there, is because we were here for a meeting, and that's one of the reasons. We have a new way of delivering the video stream, and certainly there's some audio issues that we're working on. He didn't feed us, so I'm blaming him. So when I thought I was going to go eat here, then go watch Deadpool and Wolverine, I was like, wait a minute, I'm starving. I'm not going to sit through a 2+ hour movie. I can't make it. So then I just went home to eat and I took a nap. So I blame Joe George for keeping me from watching Deadpool and Wolverine over the weekend.
Also, update. Audio should be better.
Great. Awesome.
I don't want to say fixed. I want to use the F word.
That's the one F word we won't use around
here. That's the only one I won't use.
Yes. Sean just dropping F words no matter what it is, except for fixed.
Yeah. Watch out, Joe Kelly.
That's right.
But yeah, it should be sounding up to the, well, I was going to say up to the ESPN 97 quality you expect, but honestly, that's what it was before. Now it's above the ESPN 97.75 quality you expect.
I do love the open secret of us just ripping the place we work for from time to time. Not always. I enjoy coming here. The people are great. Just sometimes. It would be unreasonable to not acknowledge the issues when we all know you guys hear them.
Hey, yeah, come on. Yep. We're not these corporate entities that are always, you know,
we're the Deadpool of the station.
Yeah, we're just a little bit.
We acknowledge you. We talk. We break the fourth wall. We talk to you guys about what's going on because we know you know.
It's a little slapdashish, I'll say.
What are we just spitting gum, keeping everything together?
Yeah, there's a lot of duct tape that gets that's involved in bringing you radio.
Yeah, we try
just a lot more than the other station.
Just know we acknowledge what's going on and acknowledge that we try. We are trying. So hopefully Joe George, who's put in a lot of work to make sure things go smoothly. So much work, he couldn't feed us. But thankfully for him, and we got a report, it does sound better. So thanks to Joe and everyone else behind the scenes. Sam is part of it too. Everyone working to make sure the station sounds better. And if John and Lance are the ones who get screwed, so be it. They deserved it. I hope everyone else the rest of the way has a better listening experience. Let's get to this. Alex Bregman, hero on Saturday, hit a home run, a big one that gave the Astros a win in the bottom of the ninth. So he's going to be the guy Julio Morales talks to. So let's hear from Alex Bregman on the comeback, the fight his team showed on Saturday.
The at bat, the moment, the feeling as you cross the plate right here.
Just pure excitement just to get the team a win. Hard fought game. They got a great ball club over there. We battled back. And fortunate to come out on top.
Yeah, that sixth inning for the club, watching your team fight back the way that they did and all the two out hits and the two strikes. I mean, what got into this team late?
Well, I think it was just everybody passing the torch to the next guy, not trying to do too much. When you're facing good pitching, you gotta just put together quality at bats, and the guys did a great job today of that.
As I said, that comeback reminded us of what this team has been in the past. Big moments, people kept grinding, kept fighting, and found a way. So they win, and they take 2 out of 3. They got the Pirates tonight. Paul Skeens in the building. Some of you pervs will enjoy. I don't know if Livy Dunn will be there. It's not always guaranteed. But hey, I'm sure with Paul Skeens being mentioned, the broadcast will eventually get to that too.
Should Livy Dunn, and I know Justin Verlander isn't playing, but maybe Cade Upton just swings by. Should they do like a jersey swap before the Cade Upton and Livy Dunn?
Should they have
a little bit of the picture, like the picture of Kobe standing next to Michael Jordan, just a passing of the torch moment?
So is it jersey swaps with their names in the back,
no,
or their significant others?
Yeah, like their bedazzled, you know, the
bedazzled Verlander jersey,
yeah, and a bedazzled Skeens jersey, one that they wear. Yeah,
some might say, considering I believe both have been in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yes.
That they would swap the swimsuits. Or
that
pictures
too.
Of the swimsuits.
That too.
Of them in the swimsuits. I don't know. I would say, hey.
There needs to be a passing of the torch moment. You know?
From one attractive baseball wag to the other? That's what they call them in soccer, mm-hmm. wags. So is that what you want?
Yeah.
Taking the torch?
Some acknowledgement of, hey, we have one of the all-time greats. And we okay. have an up-and-comer.
Okay. I don't think that's going to go down.
Because Verlander's hurt?
Yes. Or because these two are like, well, what are we doing this for you guys for? What random thought you have in your head? Why would we do
why
that for
we
you
do
guys?
This on for Pirates Astros
yeah.
on a Monday?
Yeah. Why? I mean, it would hit on the internet, definitely. If they understood the game, they'd do it. And I say that despite Livy Dunn being a big-time influencer.
Give them some game.
You're
sorry.
Right. A content creator, that's big. If they decide, you know what, we're going to do a collab, then we're just going to swap whatever they need to swap and take a picture together. It's unlikely, I feel like, though. I don't know if I can trust Julian with his no spoilers. So we'll get to Julian when we come back. We also will talk about the main character from yesterday. I mean, Jason Tatum. The fact that he did not play and the way people responded through for the last 20-something hours about it. That game was yesterday, right? The days have run together. The U.S.-Serbia game was yesterday.
Yesterday morning.
Jason Tatum got no minutes. The internet had a field day. And even Steve Kerr had to apologize. We might even hear from Steve Kerr talking about, yeah, I made a mistake not playing him. Or you just say, hey, Kevin Durant was available, and he's great, so we played him instead. Worked out. The U.S. beat Serbia in their first game. But the internet was abuzz with the fact that the man who wasn't even the finals MVP or conference finals MVP did not play when Derek White and Jrue Holiday did. I don't know. It feels pretty easy. You're taking minutes away from LeBron or KD at the wing position. Maybe you start him over Booker or play him more than Booker. I don't know. He did look sad. And that's the product of being a coach of stars when I'm referencing Steve Kerr. Now you got to answer questions about it and then promise that Jason Tatum will play in the next game. So the U.S. win. Kevin Durant was great in his return. We'll talk about why people care that one particular NBA star did not play. We'll get to other stuff too, including Julian and his call about the movie of the summer so far. Deadpool made a lot of money and will continue to make money today because I'm going to go see it. Anyone else want to call in 713-780-3776? Yes, Deadpool's dependent on me to go so they can keep up the hot streak. The matinee.
Ryan Reynolds got $15 in that studio.
Not even. It's a matinee. He ain't getting $15 from me. What? I've seen too many spoilers already about who's in it. I'm not going at night for that. Maybe if I didn't see all the spoilers. So we'll talk about that. Anything else you want to get into when we come back?
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Julian here. He's been warned. No spoilers. I don't know what he'll say when he gets on the air and the lights are bright, but at least he told Sean that he wouldn't provide spoilers. But before that, I did want to get to some Texans news. I don't know if we avoided disaster, but C.J. Stroud got stepped on over the weekend. He's fine. Back out at practice. And today, Titus Howard was in the medical tent, according to Adam Wexler. It's the first time the tent's been put up to look at a player. He was in there for about 13 minutes and then walked out, hanging out with the offense. So Titus Howard in and out of the medical tent doesn't appear to be a major issue. Joe Mixon's there, but not practicing. So we're getting to about a week of Joe Mixon being unavailable, as the Texans are in the middle of 11-on-11 and pads and all that stuff. So Joe Mixon watching, not available. He's fine. DeMeco told us he's fine.
What if he's just meant that as like, damn, he's fine?
I was like, DeMeco, not what we're actually looking for. I mean, you can comment on a good-looking man if you want, but it's not what the question was about. he's fine. And he's like, damn, he's fine. I don't think he did that, though. He just said he's fine. Joe's tough, he's fine. So when Joe Mixon's back, I guess we'll know that he's fine. But right now, unavailable, and Tytus Howard should be okay, too. Let's get to Julian, who has promised no spoilers, but he does have thoughts on the biggest movie of the summer so far. What's up, Julian?
What are you, Jab Turkey?
Okay.
So I'm not going to go ahead and spoil anything, but I will say this: it's overrated. There's no storyline, and it's just a bunch of cameos. Y'all have a great day. We're going to rock out with our brock out.
The Jive Turkey thing, rock out with your brock out, all awful. But it isn't crossing the line. There is one thing.
He didn't spoil anything, so
no.
I think.
And there's also he avoided the one thing that gets
auto.
Him an immediate suspension and back to jail because he violated parole. So we move on. Okay, I'll make my determination. I don't know that many people think it's great. I think just people enjoyed it. Plot or no plot, cameo or no cameo. We'll see. I'll make my own determination today after we're done here. George tells us, and you guys would know before me because you're listening, that the audio has been fixed. Hopefully that's the case. And if you suffer through John and Lance, well, what's the difference? You're always suffering through John and Lance. But the audio seems to be okay. And we'll have that squared away going forward. Thank you for having some patience. And welcome to, I guess you would say, a new way of watching us. I know the format looks different if you're just tuning in. We have changed the way we stream video. And you can find it on Twitter now. It was on YouTube and Twitch. That will remain. And it's partly because we're going to do some different things. Not only will we be able to have video of hosts who are not in the building.
Hypothetically.
If that were to happen. Yes, hypothetically. I mean, we know Jeremy at times has to do UH basketball.
Yeah.
So instead of having him out of the, off the screen and you see
disembodied voice.
A template of, hey, Jeremy Brown, I'm on remote. Now you're going to be able to see him in, I guess, a hotel room or whatever.
You'll be able to see him at Tulane. Or they're in the Big 12 now.
Yes, so how dare you?
Now you'll see them in Ames, Iowa.
Or if the Cougs have a road trip in one of those tournaments before the year, maybe they go to Hawaii. I don't know where. Maybe he's in Maui. Maybe he's in the Bahamas. We never know. You'll be able to see him.
That'd be nice.
Mostly in a hotel. I'm not sure you're going to be able to do it from outside.
Probably not.
And now when we're out on remote, because we have one coming up, I guess that's the first test run, right, where Gallant and George and the Killer Bees are going to be out at, where are they going to be, 12 to 6 this week? Now I'm forgetting.
Oh, the Hunter's Extravaganza.
Hunter's Extravaganza. We're going to hopefully be able to film and stream from out there. So instead of the guys are out there and you can't see them, that's going to change, and that'll be the way we go forward with that too. So trying to change it up. First steps was the different format, and the audio wasn't great, but now it's fixed. So once again, we should be good to go going forward. So I did want to get to this. The U.S. dominate Serbia. Expected. I know Jokic is out there and Bogdanovic is out there too. But that was expected. Embiid's still a guy who's going to catch it because the team is far worse when he's on the floor than when he isn't. They have a minus when he's on the floor. He hasn't been good. It started the calls for Anthony Davis or Bam to start over him because the team just plays better. Now, Embiid may continue to get starts. He is the former MVP who got booed by the French crowd. If you don't know the story there, he applied for French citizenship, got a passport, and he was fast-forwarded in that process because they thought he was going to play for the Olympic team. Turns out he's like, nah, you know what? I'd rather play for the U.S. He said, maybe I can't beat out Gobert or Wimby. Could they have all been on the court at the same time? Gobert is the center. Embiid, because of his scoring talent, is a power forward. And Wimby is a small forward. Would they have run all three of them out at the same time?
They could. They definitely could. Especially, honestly, in FIBA. I don't know. Just throw them out there against Puerto Rico.
Just for the spectacle.
Yeah.
I would have wanted to see it.
Like, Wembanyama could credibly play small forward. And so, yeah. I think it could work. I think the only part that doesn't work is Rudy Gobert.
I just want it to happen.
I think that's the worst part about
it. True. I just want it to happen because it means Embiid's off the U.S. team. What? Wow. They're worse with them on the floor.
This is a bad look.
No, it isn't.
This is what I expect from John Granato.
I don't care about Embiid's nationality so much, or
as long as it's not American.
I just don't want an unethical hooper in my face. In the Olympics.
Unethical hooper.
Yes. He may be unethical overall.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him the Joe Kelly treatment like you are. I'm saying he's an unethical hooper, and I don't want him on the U.S. team.
Sounds like you're telling him to go back to Africa. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Well, I'm allowed. I'm Nigerian. If I was going to say that.
Tell him to go back to Cameroon.
No, I just said Africa. He doesn't have to be in Cameroon and go back to any part of Africa he wants. No, I'm not saying that, but I could if I wanted to. I'm saying go play for France. I don't want that unethical hooper on my team. It's pretty obvious he's not a positive on the team, at least so far, through the exhibition games, through yesterday's game. The FIBA officials are like, not here, not with
no,
you.
Sir.
You're not getting that off on us.
I will say one thing, because I guess with the Olympic team, if they don't win every game by 45, you have to call into question the coaching.
Of course.
I will give Steve Kerr some credit. There's a pretty quick hook on Embiid in the first quarter.
Got to.
He yanked him pretty
enough.
Fast.
The numbers say you're better when he's not on the floor. So yeah. Do what you have to do.
A lot of those numbers were from the very start of the game where Serbia started on like a 12-2 run.
Sure, but they go beyond Serbia.
No, I'm saying.
But I know what you're saying.
I'm saying yesterday they immediately go on a run. Kerr yanks him, puts in Davis.
And things switch, right?
Yeah. The U.S. goes on a... 100-70 run or whatever it was after that?
Yeah. He played 11 minutes, Joel Embiid. Like, what, the start of each half, and that's about it. And plus, the game was a blowout in the second half, so he didn't have to play as much. And, you know, they actually only up by 8 at the half. Nine at half. And Durant was spectacular. He was perfect in the first half off the bench. 8 of 9 overall for 23 points. He was great. And it's one of the reasons Tatum didn't play. Durant's healthy and available. He's starting off like that. You play Kevin Durant. Pretty simple. And Tatum apparently will get minutes against Japan because Steve Kerr has been shamed and bullied into it. Hey, you didn't even play. Jason Tatum. Okay, I got to play. No one's saying that about Tyrese Halliburton, though. No one's like, hey, how come Halley didn't get in the game? That's what happens when you play for the Pacers. No one's really pushing for you to play. But if you play for the champions, you got to play.
Why isn't Halliburton playing? There, I'll ask.
I guess because Derek White and Drew Holiday and Devin Booker are better. Yeah. And Anthony, because Anthony Edwards is on the team too.
I will say point guard on this team is like the one position.
LeBron's the point guard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're starting LeBron and Steph Curry. I think we're good on point guard.
Yeah, Hallie.
You're also starting Drew Holiday, who can credibly play point guard.
Yes, he is a point guard by trade. And Derek White can be a ball handler too. Not really a point guard.
He can run the offense through Bam.
Yeah, there are reasons why Halliburton's not playing.
There's like so many. Why is Halliburton on the team? Who should it be?
Who else?
Jaylen Brown seems to really want it, so it should be Jaylen Brown.
So he and Jason Tatum couldn't play? Both wings, so yeah, he and Jason Tatum won't play?
Two DMPs.
Two Celtics sitting next to each other not playing? The other two Celtics playing?
The other two. Won the keys to the game.
Yeah, but those two, the two best players on the title team, not playing.
No thanks. We're good. We got guys in their 30s.
Who are, at least for FIBA basketball, probably better than you. If LeBron's going to play like he did yesterday, you're not going to get minutes. You're going to get few. Yeah. I will say, hey, in a blowout, maybe just to avoid the nonsense of now where you have to answer questions, maybe throw him in a couple minutes in the last stages.
Oh,
or
wow.
Maybe it's disrespectful if you play him at that point.
I was going to say, give him Boban minutes.
You can't make him the human victory cigar. He's Jason Tatum, right?
Wow, you just turned him into Buddy Boeheim. No, Buddy was good. Who's the – oh, Izzo. Izzo's kid. You just turned him into Scott Izzo. I don't know if his name was Scott.
If the bench warmer towel fits, wear it. That's all. So that was a controversy yesterday. Jason Tatum did not play. He is expected to play against Japan because Steve Kerr told us. Steve Kerr said he felt dumb about not playing him. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure Jason Tatum will get early minutes so everyone can calm the F down about it. God forbid he doesn't play in a game against Serbia. Oh, no, he's sitting there. Halliburton's just thrilled to be in the building.
I know. Halliburton, I mean, you're saying Jason Tatum should have gotten the walk-on treatment. Tyrese Halliburton was born for that walk-on life.
He would have been thrilled.
He was waving the towel,
getting
he was
up
doing
and,
the celebrations.
Yeah, Halliburton fits the role of a guy who, if I don't get minutes, it's cool. I will get my minutes late in a blowout welcome.
Tatum's like, I'm better than these guys. What are we doing?
Who says?
No,
that's what he thinks. Yeah, that's what he thinks. And all of Celtics media does, too. Very upset. Had to do an investigation. The investigation ends with this. Kevin Durant was great. LeBron's better. Maybe you have an issue with Devin Booker playing. But Devin Booker was good, too. So they were all good yesterday. Three-point shooting was out of this world. I don't know if we can expect 18 of 32. They were great in that first half, particularly. And they needed it because if they were shooting normally, they probably are down to Serbia because Jokic was good. Didn't matter, though. U.S. 1-0.
I think Jokic was, his plus-minus was either positive or zero.
Particularly in the first half. Yeah, definitely, he was good in the first half.
They just got run out of the gym every time he
said it. Yeah, so kind of like down. The Nuggets.
It's also how every single one of these FIBA games are going to go because all of the teams have one or two star NBA players.
Yeah.
And the U.S. Is deciding not to play Jason Tatum. So yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the bench unit for the U.S. is going to be better than any bench unit in the tournament.
Yeah, the only one who – it's not a comparison, but the only one who has any depth, really, as far as NBA players are concerned, is Canada.
Yeah, Canada and Germany has, like, decent depth.
Sure.
Thanks to the
family. Wagner brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you look at – if we're just going by bench – before we wrap it up way later, the Canadians have Trey Lyles, NBA player, Olynyk, NBA player, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Jamal Murray was on the bench, by the way. And
scrub.
And Nimhard. So we're talking about
That's a legit
NBA bench. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you started with Dwight Powell and Kelly Olynyk. I was like,
Lyles.
And Trey
Dwight
Lyles.
Dwight Powell starts.
Great.
disrespectful.
If Embiid cannot cook against Canada... I agree with you.
We saw him beat.
Back,
we saw him
to where he came.
We
from.
Saw him beat against Canada in the preliminary. Did he cook then in that exhibition game when they're showcase game?
He traveled a lot.
Oh yeah, so I feel so bad for him. So the fact that the Canadians sent their actual real best NBA players, if we're just going by name recognition, there are other things that are important like playing together for years and understanding the FIBA game. The Canadians should be in the gold medal game. I'm not saying they should win it, but if we're just going by names you recognize and the talent overall, that's the team that probably should be challenging the U.S. in like an 8-point game with four minutes to go type deal for the gold medal.
France, Germany, Canada are the only
That should be the teams along with the U.S. in the medal rounds.
Should be the only challengers.
Yes.
Now we're going to say this, and then they're going to beat Puerto Rico by three.
I mean, they needed almost a miracle to beat South Sudan. So what are we talking about? South Sudan's pretty good. They won their first game.
South Sudan has hands.
They got length. That's what they do have.
Arms.
We're way late. We will get to other things. We're going to hear. We'll get to this probably in the second hour. We're talking about Canadian basketball. Well, the Canadian soccer team, full-on cheaters, according to reports. And Vanessa Giles, one of their players, very emotional in the post game because Canada has to win all their games to make it. Because if you don't know, they were deducted 6 points. You can only score 9 in the group stages. They've won both games, so now they're at 0 because they were deducted 6 before the tournament even started, and now they have a chance with the win in their last game to qualify for the quarterfinal. The U.S., well on their way. They're in the quarterfinal. For them, it's just about winning the group. They look great under Emma Hayes, the new manager. Oddly enough, getting a manager changes things because they were bad in the World Cup, great in the Olympics. Just saying for the U.S. men. I mean, maybe get a good manager before you start questioning all the talent. We'll talk about that in the second hour. We'll get into some Texan stuff as well, some quotes from D'Amico. And, hell, they're wrapping up training camp probably as we speak, so if anything pops there, we'll get to that too. We know Paul goes out there quite a bit. Way late, but let's change that. Let's go to break. We'll be back.
ESPN. 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
If this is the same Anthony from from last week. I remember a gentleman who was falling asleep after watching a show. He wasn't thrilled with the previous two episodes. Let's see what he thinks about this one, if I'm right, and it's the same Anthony. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, man? Yeah, it's the right one. So I was pleasantly surprised with this episode. I mean, we got a throwback to Ned Stark's old way of justice. We got a young kid basically showing, you know, how heavy his britches are in front of, like, the most chaotic, sporadic, you know, personality disorder person that could have made that situation go way worse without giving too much information. I mean, within the first 15 minutes, they pretty much undid the last boring, two episodes they did. So I was super happy. And then the way the whole show progressed all the way up to the beginning to the end, like, I was just like, okay, they back. So hopefully next episode is just like that, and it's not a yawn fest like what 4 or 5 was. But yeah, I'm back on board, because if they did another one, I would have been out.
All right.
So just wanted to make sure they got all the same thing.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Anthony's talking about House of the Dragon. Yeah. 7 was enjoyable last night, and without giving anything away, like, Anthony did a great job of avoiding anything major. We had some action. And that's all I'll say. If you were bothered by 5 and 6 being pretty slow, 4 was the one that had the big action sequence so far. 5 and 6 were the ones that were a little slower. We talked about it a little bit. 5, I didn't like as much as 6. I like 6 more than Anthony did. I didn't have any issues with falling asleep. I was fine watching both. But 7 picked it up. And 8, I don't know where 8's going to go, mostly because we see and this isn't a spoiler because it's in the after show setting you up for next week, the kind of the trailer. There's another new dragon involved. You see him up. You see he or she. I don't know if it's a. I think it might be she.
They.
Yes, in this case, because I don't know. I think it's a female dragon up in the sky, and that's a new dragon. So we got multiple dragons.
Man.
This past week, past episode,
they delivered on their dragon promises.
They did mayhem and chaos, certainly. And then we have another dragon coming that we have not seen before. So
remember in Game of Thrones when people were like, man, not enough dragons.
Well,
problem solved.
Don't you worry.
What if we made the whole show dragons?
Well, it is in the title.
House of the.
Which means the actual animals themselves and the Targaryens, because that is their sigil. So Anthony's in. It is the season finale, which is unfortunate because last year, I believe, it was 10 episodes. This one's 8. I don't buy when people, hey, it's only 8 episodes, but the episodes are longer. No, just give me 10.
They're also an hour.
True.
Normally the 10-episode ones, they're also an hour.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We are getting 2 less
you
hours.
You can't sell me on that. Sure, there may be an hour 5 here, an hour 10, but either way, give me my 10 episodes. The whole experience of watching week to week is part of the enjoyment, too, and we're getting less of that. I just need a couple more weeks. You give me 10, that means we're like 15 days away, or depending on when you started away from the beginning of college football.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yeah, and you know.
They could just start the 8 later.
Or just get me into, like, Rings of Power or something. That trailer came out. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, at least we'll know that they'll make a new season a year and a half from now.
Comforting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's rough. That's rough. They put in money. They want the quality of it. But when we're waiting a year and a half, I'm just going to tell you right now, the seasons better not get shorter. 8 is 8. I don't want to hear, we're doing 7 this year. No. What do those actors have to do?
Honestly, they should be filming them all as soon as they can.
You want a Peter Jackson type deal?
Well,
we're Lord of the Rings, or are they just filming back to back to back?
Because half these actors are 19. gotta get them before they start looking old.
I wish. Queen Alicent is like 30, and her son is, who's supposed to be half her age because he had the kid very young, is 20, like 3 years younger than her in real life. Aemon's 3 years younger than his mom in real life.
Huh.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a teenager in the show. That man don't look like a teenager.
No, that was my first impression, like last season. I was like, this guy does not look like he looks way older
Cut it out. I know.
He must be a great actor.
You want to have accomplished people doing the work because it's a big-time show. I mean, the ages certainly don't match up. And it helps because if we remember back to Game of Thrones, Danny, the character is supposed to be like 14. And then there's some tough stuff happening in season one.
I'm okay with aging her up if
that's
some
the
of
case.
The season one stuff is going
down. That was rough. That was rough for us. Hey, George R. R. Martin, writing some nutty stuff. Hey, talk to George. He wrote it. He won't write anything else, apparently. We're still waiting on the fifth book or the sixth book in that series. So thank you to Anthony. He is more than happy. You guys, I don't tell you to watch it. I think it's just good TV on a Sunday to watch. What else is there to watch during the summer beyond what the Olympics are giving you right now? So we'll get into some text and stuff. We'll hear from D'Amico when we come back in hour two. I'll also inform you about what you can do for Restaurant Week that is going on. We're partnering with the Houston Food Bank on that. You guys can get involved in that. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hear from D'Amico about his O-line and D-line. And Tommy Townsend, of all people, the former Chiefs punter, friend of Taylor Swift, if we go by what we saw after the Super Bowl, and now Texans punter, has some thoughts on what makes the Chiefs great, and maybe we can see that from the Texans this year. Tommy Townsend. We'll hear from him, D'Amico. And I'll let you know about Restaurant Week when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.